I honestly, what I would really love to do is just do it with you and Dan every night. I just love to do it with you guys.
Well, not the live stream, just, you know, it in general.
All three of us, I should say. One, two, three.
I suck the dick!
Now you gotta throw that in there.
You are tearing me apart, Lisa!
My girlfriend sucked 37 dicks.
In a row?
Hey, buddy, you gonna eat that sausage?
No, go past this. Past this part. In fact, never play this again.
Tell me something, my friend.
Am I the only one around here who gives a shit about the role?
Ladies and gentlemen!
Your complete attention, if you please.
The Epic Film Guys Podcast.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to a brand new episode of the Epic Film Guys Podcast. It is. We're not canned like we were for 194, which was still weird to me to not have to edit anything last week at all. Even though I did still, because JD sent me his 2014 audio in like 0 hour.
Yes.
So I still had to cut that in like last minute. But it was weird to not have to like do a whole week's worth of editing.
But you were killing yourself over the weekend, Nick. You literally lived the third annual live stream for The Cure.
I'm trying to breathe, man.
You and Dan Brennick of the Netflix and Swill podcast literally made the live stream for The Cure what it was this year, along with so many amazing fucking people. I mean, I can't thank Dan enough on top of my thanks to you, but that weekend was so epic. I mean, honestly, I can feel like right now that we can live up to that name, the Epic Film Guys, just because of how great the live stream for The Cure was this weekend.
It turned out, except for some internet issues, and I don't want to talk about the event like a terribly long amount of time here at the opening of the show, but of course we have to mention it. Yes, the third annual live stream for The Cure, we annihilated our goal. So we set 3 days, 40 hours, and by the end of day two, we hit our goal. Of $7,500. And when I tallied everything together, and I don't have money for shirts yet. I don't even know how many shirts we sold yet. So I'm still waiting to figure all that nonsense out. But we raised over $16,000. Once you factor in everything that was donated in May, that's going to be doubled.
Wait a minute, Nick, wait a minute. Say that amount one more time, please.
Over $16,000 for cancer research. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It was absolutely amazing. It was a wonderful time. And like I said, we've still got shirt money to fold into that. So that donation total isn't final yet. I don't know 100% what it's going to be just yet. But like I said, by the end of day two, we had crushed the goal. And then everything Sunday was just gravy. You know, we had literally just wall to wall, amazing people, some shitheads too. Like you got to be the lowest piece of shit, garbage human being to go on Twitch and to find a cancer charity live stream and like be on it. And I felt so bad. It was one of them was during the something something cast, and they're like calling Rob fat and, you know, calling me fat and telling us we're garbage and shit. And like Dan was quick bringing the band hammer down and getting people out of there, but man, just people are pieces of shit, like trying to raise money for cancer research, and we just had trolls jumping into the Twitch chat and being assholes. But aside from that unpleasantness, it was an absolutely amazing event. We had people. Drew Hallam from Real Feels was a soldier. He was literally in that chat every minute of the event.
Drew is the man.
And
Drew is a champion.
He did moonshine every $1,000.
Dude, that's what I'm saying right now.
We brought him back on the air every time to do, and he would do double shots, like a catch up by a couple thousand every time he did it. He was amazing. Duty from Shaken Not Nerd shaved his. He somehow looks even better with the beard.
Honestly, he looks way better. Duty, yeah. Seriously, I've seen you with a long beard. I've seen you with a mustache. I've seen you clean shaven. Everything. You're a very stylish gentleman. But what you have going on right now is unlike any other male specimen.
I think
pull
you
got to
stick with the pan.
This fits you.
He's got
to perfectly to a T. Why would you change this?
This is great, you, bro. But
this is what you.
He promised to shave depending on what level of total we hit, and of course we smashed the goal, so that means he had to go for Hugh Jackman in pan for facial hair. And it, like I said, he looks absolutely amazing. Thank you so much, Duty, for doing that. Like you said, Dan was on site with me, executive producing the event. It literally would not have happened, and it would not have gone as well as it did without Dan. Your amazing artwork just blazing out there. I still can't wait to print out some copies of that poster. I think what I've decided.
Man, and honestly, I spread the word a lot on Instagram, and even then, like, a lot of people really took to it, and like a lot of podcasts that had a part in the event spread the word majorly on Instagram, and they had a big presence there with that. And I saw that logo every single day for like 3 weeks prior to the event.
It was so everywhere.
I just want to thank every single one of the podcasts on Instagram specifically, because that's part of the social media that I handle for Epic Film Guys. And people just were sharing that every day in their stories, every day on their main page, and just made a huge impact, I feel like. And every single time you guys made money, you were also supporting it and just telling more people to support it. And I can't thank you enough. Seriously, it was Nick, insane. You have no idea. I know you don't do the IG thing, and I stay away from the Twitter thing. That's your handle. But like when I saw so many people just posting about the live stream and using that artwork, which was meant to invoke positivity and happiness, and just like that moment where you're like, I'm just going to sit back, relax, enjoy my life, and give back to something that's going to make a difference for other people. Like, it was amazing.
Yeah. But we could say it over and over again. There's way too many people to mention specifically or to thank specifically. But I think what I decided, Justin, is I think that poster, I think I'm going to print out copies of that. We're going to get copies of it, obviously. But I think I'm going to send it to like top donors, like the top donors in the event. I think that's what I'm going to do with that poster, send out copies of that. I've still got to give away prizes. That's coming later. The event was so busy and so fast paced, I didn't even have time to give away prizes most of the time. We have the Podbean to give away. We have the NordVPN to give away. A ton of other EFG swag, coasters, stickers, magnets. It's all coming. I promise. Probably either this Friday or this Saturday, I'm going to go live over on the EFG Facebook page and just spend some time giving away a whole bunch of prizes. But from the bottom of our hearts, seriously, thank you all so, so much for being part of the live stream for The Cure, for donating, for hanging out in the Twitch chat, sharing it. Even if you couldn't donate, it doesn't matter if you couldn't donate. What matters is that you supported the event, shared it out there, got the word out. We just annihilated it. I was so, so shocked that we annihilated it.
Destroyed it. Dropped a fucking atom bomb on it. A nuclear fucking bomb on it, Nick. Seriously, I'm dead serious, dude. I was so shocked. I mean, and I'll be honest about this on the show. I made a post. I did a quick video on our Instagram on Friday to let our fans know and our listeners and the people that were actually contributing to this event that I was not going to be a part of it because I had a show I was going to and I had to work that day. And even on that, dude, I got so much of a reaction on people that were just still supporting the event. It made me feel so good about it that I could not wait to get back home from Richmond Friday night and wake up in the morning Saturday and just like destroy this thing. So
it was amazing. It was a lot of fun. You're going to be hearing all year, just like I did with live stream 2. I'm going to go back in. I'm going to take all those segments. We're going to pull them down and I'm going to be replaying segments from the event all year. Some of the most fun segments. Like, there's way too many to talk about here. So I don't want to waste all the time in the show talking about it, 'cause we got a lot of stuff to get to tonight, including a review of John Wick 3.
Movies. Yeah. That's right. We talk about movies.
Yeah, we got to talk about movies on the show. But Justin, before we talk about movies on the show, you know what time it is, baby.
Oh, yeah, it's time for What Are You Drinking?
Puke and Rally! Woo! Give me a beer!
Now, you're going first because I already know what you're drinking, and I can't wait to hear you talk about it.
I grabbed this beer down on that fucking divide. I pushed Justin out the fucking door after this positive live stream for The Cure bullshit is over. I'm back here. Justin bought PBR for Loy sauce, and then when he was sleeping, I licked the tip of his dick, and nothing came out of it, so I ended up going back to Ned Devine's and sticking my dick in the hole in the bathroom they call my glory hole, Nick. You ever heard of those?
In the
late 70s. Yeah, I used to put my wiener in all kinds of things. So that's what happened, and that's why I'm drinking a PBR. This piece of shit is fucking... I don't even know. Some guy gave it to me after I left the bar. It's 2% alcohol by volume, and it tastes like piss. And like your dog might have taken a shit in it, but that's what I'm drinking.
I also enjoy a good can of PBR.
I just love that I have that on the soundboard so I can hit it whenever I want.
But I gotta ask you, sir, because you drink all that expensive shit like the Cristal and all that champagne and all that.
Exactly.
What
that.
The fuck is you got going down your asshole this evening, you piece of shit?
I am thrilled. I am once again enjoying a delicious glass of McKenzie bottled in bond weeded bourbon. Just so smooth and buttery and just sweet notes of caramel. I adore it. I absolutely adore it. My bottle's like, there's only half of it left. I'm going to be so sad when it's gone. But luckily, they do it all year long. I can go up there and get more.
But Nick, you drank, I realized, I know you don't want to bring up the live stream for The Cure all that often on this episode, but you have to realize that when I woke up early in the morning on Saturday and I had the hugest hangover, I woke up to our first segment being you drinking a whole glass of fucking bourbon.
That is true.
At like fucking like 9:30, 10 in the morning.
It was like 10 in the morning. Yep. You know what? And I did. Yeah.
Because
we hit 50% day one and I just had to raise my glass to all the amazing people that made that happen. Because Dan and I, we had the conversation, especially after we went off the air Friday night, we had the conversation like, dude, we hit 50% day one. We can hit this. Day two, we can make it in day two, and we did, and it was amazing. And like I said, over $16,000. So on the air, we raised the $7,500 almost that we needed, and so the early donations factored in there just topped it off even better. It's crazy. It's crazy to think about. You know, you're just a little indie show, just chugging along, just doing what we do, but indie we owe it show. To like all. I mean, literally, and people want to throw thanks my way, and I don't.
I Haskins, you should spotlight. Be signing autographs. You should be signing autographs. No, you're a podcast hero.
I don't want to sign autographs, but we owe it to all the amazing podcast partners that took part in the event and that brought their audiences that came and they donated, their families donated, their friends donated.
It's all due to you, though. Amazing. It's all due to you. This is your job. This is what you've been doing, and this is all due to your passion for this project, and there's no one to thank other than you.
Next year,
I'm making
baby.
This clear on the podcast, but listen.
$10,000.
Give me this. Give me this time on next the podcast year. Right now. Give me this,
no,
this blank
I don't
space
like
and don't delete
I hide
it.
From it.
Ladies and gentlemen that listen to this show, that support the Epic Film Guys, that supported the third annual live stream for The Cure, realize that this would not have ever happened if it wasn't for Nick Haskins. He's the reason. It's his passion. It's his love. It's his dedication. It's all the work that he puts into this event that makes it what it is every single year, on top of what all of you guys that do your extra mark and make an awesome participation in the live stream for The Cure. What it is, it's Nick that starts it every single year, and it's his passion. So,
well, I appreciate it. It's, you know, it, well, next year, like I was talking to Dan and I already told you pre-show, but
if you want me to come up for the weekend, I'd love to come up. I honestly, what I would really love to do is just do it with you and Dan every night. I just love to do it with you guys.
Oh, well, not the live stream, just, you know, it in general.
Well, two of you, I mean, all three of us, I should say. One, two,
I
three.
Sucked a dick last
now you got to throw
night.
That in there. Come on now.
But here, this is where the show's going, though, because some news landed last week that pissed off everybody. It pissed off everybody that I know, that almost to the point where I got into a fight when I took a break from the live stream for The Cure to go hang out with the Take Two podcast, which actually did a great segment on the live stream for The Cure this year.
Except Tony's internet was from like the mid-80s. I'm pretty sure he still had the first ever internet line that was installed. That was like,
Is he still using AOL?
I don't know what the hell he's using, but Jesus, it was like watching still frames of him. Eventually, we turned off his camera and it worked a little bit better. But Tony, we love you, man. We love you. But they did do a great segment.
I mean, for real. Robert Pattinson, the dude from the Twilight movies. That's right. As of right now, Nick, he is our new cinematic Batman.
They're drinking Drano.
They must be, right? Are they crazy?
Oh.
I don't know.
He sparkles. His Batman's going to sparkle. His new suit's going to have sparkles in it. And nipples. You know how many times I've heard that in the last 5 days?
A lot.
Nick, I have yet to get your true opinion on this. I want you to go down the line.
I mean, literally, He's done some fantastic work. Like, speaking of fantastic work that he's done, The Lighthouse, which he did with Willem Dafoe, which I guess they're shooting with all like 1940s
Robert Eggers,
cameras.
Man. Yeah, dude. Yeah. The Witch.
Cannot wait to see that movie. Apparently it's getting rave reviews, and he's done some amazing performances post Twilight. I know he's got Twilight in there. I know. I get it. But somebody said it. Somebody else has said it a million times, but nobody hates Twilight more than Robert Pattinson. So listen, you're a young, hungry actor. You want to get noticed. You want to make money. Whatever. You take the job. You take the job and you star in the movies. Whatever. He's done some great performances. He's a fantastic actor. He is going to fucking kill it. I cannot wait. And listen, remove him from the equation entirely, Justin. Matt Reeves, man. The man behind the Apes trilogy. Well, the second two Apes films, but regardless.
Those two movies are good enough for us to actually make an opinion on the fact that...
He made Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. I don't care. I trust him implicitly.
Dude, he's been working on this, you understand, for 3 fucking years. Ever since Justice League, when Warner's decided that was going to be a failure to them, they immediately handed the Batman over to... Yep. Matt Reeves. That's how long he's had this in his hands. He's dedicating 5 years of his life just to this movie. And reportedly, Nick, over the weekend, they announced that the supposed rumors are the villains will be Catwoman, the Penguin, and Riddler. We already know that Josh Gad had meetings to audition for their version of the Penguin. I don't know who they're going to do as Riddler. Regardless, that just sounds so good to me. Like, Pattinson is like a late 20s Batman. Like, honestly, dude, get over it. He'll look great in the suit. He'll be athletic enough and in shape enough. They want a trilogy. They want something. Like, Reeves is going to be doing this for the next 10 years of his life. It's like what Nolan did. Yep. Think of how long that guy took. Or Burton, even in his early years. He took like 6-7 years of his life just making 2 Batman movies. That's how long movies take to make, you know?
Yeah, especially on this scale.
I get a huge problem from people being like having a problem with the fact that Pattinson's cast off of Twilight. And I'm like, that was 2012. How old were you? And most people complaining were like 7 years old.
Well, it's people that they have never seen him in anything but Twilight. And you've got to broaden out your horizons. He's given some fantastic performances. Get out there. Check out the other work that the guy has done. And seriously, you're not going to be disappointed. And like I said, I fully, fully trust in Matt Reeves. You know, Matt Reeves cast him for a reason, and I don't care what anybody thinks. It's going to be spectacular. I cannot wait. Well, Justin, we've got a lot of other stuff to talk about tonight, so we're going to go ahead and we're going to fade up the music here. And when we come back, we are going to talk about John Wick 3.
Chapter 3, Parabellum. Ooh. I'm going back in time again with Bill Esquire. Yeah. Bill and Ted.
God in heaven.
You're not my dad.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you, as always, for listening to the Epic Film Guys podcast. We love you. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts if you're not already, and if you love the show so much, drop us that beautiful 5-star review. We would really, really appreciate it. Help us rocket up those charts, like, to the very top, I guess, like, the number one spot.
The top, as far as we can go.
Yeah.
As far as we can possibly
go. As far as we can go. We would really, really appreciate it. But, Justin, we're here to talk about a little film called John Wick 3, Parabellum. So, now, you and I actually have never reviewed a John Wick film together. I have talked about the first two films. You saw the first one way before me and the second one, honestly. And I had the great chance to sit down with our good friend Paul from The Countdown and talk about both of those films in different spotlights. But you and I have never reviewed a John Wick film together. So before we get into Chapter 3, like, you're a big fan of this franchise, right? Like, you're a big fan of 1 and 2.
I am a big fan of 1 and 2. I feel like when I saw 2, it wasn't a step back in quality. They were trying to up the ante, if you will, with action film precision. But I think the first film had that niche value to it where nothing had come close to that up until that or after that. And John Wick is so perfect that we're actually enjoying a trilogy of these movies.
And it's going to be part 4.
Yeah, and a part 4. Literally within 2 days of part 3 being released in theaters, the studio announced a part 4 being released in 2 years of that time frame. And keep in mind, Keanu Reeves is in his 50s. Not 50, in his 50s. He's like in his mid to, you know, what you'd consider late 50s by the time this comes out. And if you've seen John Wick Chapter 3, Parabellum, you're like, wow, I can't even get off my fucking chair or out of my couch. But this dude's doing like 10-minute long action sequences where he's taking out fucking 3 dudes at a time. And he's in his mid-50s. So I'm really excited to talk about this movie with you, Nick. I know that you've been very favorable to them. With Paul from the Countdown Movie and TV Reviews podcast. And I know that Wayne had some comments to say prior to this movie that he was hoping that John Wick wouldn't do the same move to all the bad guys over and over again.
Night. Wow, Paul.
Well, I'm sure Paul may have, but you know what? This is just the third chapter of the John Wick storyline. So if you know the first two, you already know where we're going with this. No need to actually explain what this movie's all about. It's John Wick getting his ass put into a bad situation, and he kills people with knives and guns and kung fu kicks and hangs out with hot chicks and hot dudes too, like Lawrence Fishburne. And, well, the movie ends how you'd expect it to end. So, Nick, I'm going to throw it to you. No storyline needs to be mentioned here. What were your initial thoughts on John Wick Chapter 3?
We're not building the wall. We're not building the wall here. It's a John Wick movie.
No, we definitely don't need to.
And I feel like when you talk about the story of a John Wick movie, you start to do it a disservice. I'll talk about that a little bit later on, but yeah, there's no... It's John Wick. So you know what you're signing up for the second you sit in that theater chair. You're waiting for Keanu Reeves to just annihilate the shit out of some bad guys. Now, I wasn't as hot on the second John Wick film as I was on the first. Aside from the opening action sequence where he uses his car as a weapon, I did feel, and I understand the criticism, that was a lot more of the same. You know, we get to see John Wick doing those amazing tactical takedowns, shooting people, you know, finishing them off with those, you know, point blank shots to the head, just making sure he takes them out so they don't come back. And it's all great. And I still really enjoy the second film, not as much as the first film. This film, I feel, addresses those criticisms right out of the gate. The first half an hour of this movie, like, they deliberately keep a gun away from John Wick just so we can see some action set pieces with a little bit of a different flavor. And my God, is it amazing. Like, the knife fight in what is that, like a gun library or whatever the hell that
was? It's a gun library. It's part of the whole situation they have set up in this world, this universe, where they have these areas they can go to which are safe spots for them where they can go pick up weapons in their jobs because they're assassins. And John Wick knows all these locations because guess what? He's still the boogeyman.
He is the
in
boogeyman.
These movies.
Baba Yaga.
He embodies that shit. And I mean, there's nothing better than the opening of this movie. I feel like I was literally blown away by it. The way the second film ends and this movie opens, it's perfect. It's complete continuation.
Yep.
And I have very little to complain about here. The movie opens, great energy, great action. And what I love about this movie the most, I feel like, Nick, in comparison to the second movie, as you just said, is that they're like, you know, people are getting kind of bored of the gun violence. Yes, we get plenty of it in Parabellum, but so much more of the knife works in this. So many more knife fights.
Yep.
And I feel like the danger aspect is raised times 10 in this one. The stakes are higher. In part two, I feel like John Wick's just kind of, you know, take some hits. He's not going to die. But in this one, you're like, this motherfucker could die.
Yeah. He's broken. He's bruised. He's battered even when the film begins. And it does have that great tension as you're building up as the kind of countdown timer. Because at the end of the second film, Winston gives him 1 hour, you know, to kind of get his head start and get away or do whatever. And you literally kind of count that hour down.
You live it. You live that whole hour.
And he's kind of running. He's trying to figure out what he's going to do. And, you know, then the hour expires. And I mean, literally, people just start coming out of the woodwork trying to take him out. I love the one scene in that like library. He picks up the one revolver and he doesn't like it. He doesn't like it because it can't fit a big enough round in it. So he sits there, disassembles the gun and rebuilds it with a bigger barrel and with a bigger chamber just so he can shoot one dude.
And Nick, tell me, how suspenseful is that amazing scene? That scene is so great. Well, it builds. Every shot builds upon the one before it. It just keeps building and building and building. He's resetting that gun. He's putting it together, a new version of the gun parts that he has in front of him. And we know there's 3 or 4 dudes coming in that door to go kill him.
Yep. Literally does it just to shoot one dude, which is just amazing. And then that whole knife fight at the beginning is amazing. Some of those kills are just brutal as hell. Like, especially the one dude that he kills with the axe. Such a great shot.
As he's laying on his back, he's got his head up against the fucking case. You know he's already dead, and he just takes the axe from the side and goes. What's up?
It's so
die, motherfucker, die.
It's so amazing, and then you know you get. He continues kind of on that, and then you get this scene with the horses, and like, dude, come on. The horses were amazing.
I was going to say this much. Horses, camels, motorcycles, cars, machine guns, lots and lots and lots of knives. Do you like that description? Go see fucking John Wick Chapter 3 Parabellum. I mean, what else do I have to say about this, Nick? Seriously, like this movie is a dude's wet dream.
Yeah. It really is. It's stepping into that realm. It really is. And I think Paul, even over on our Facebook page, called it like the best action movie trilogy of all time.
I will not disagree.
I don't know
with
if
him.
I disagree with that either, just because you can think of all the great action franchises that have a couple of great installments, but then fall apart in one of them. And even though I'm going to rate this higher than part two in the end, I liked this film a lot better than part two because I do feel like they really tried to give you something different. And it was really evident that they tried to give you something different in a lot of this film. It's not to say it's not without its faults, because in the first John Wick movie, you're really, really attached to John as a character because you see his motivation. You see, you know, the gangster kills the puppy. Like, you know, so you get it. Like, you understand.
But in this, Nick, I want to live so I can live out the fact that I loved my wife.
Yeah.
Like, see, his character motivations, it goes back to that a few times, and I'm like, you shouldn't even have included that. Like, why are we going back to him?
Because, and there's one scene where you get to see the picture, and that great dude, where he has that great fight with, like, that big, massive Russian dude in the library and kills him with a fucking
that scene's
book.
So great. It's one of the best scenes in the entire movie.
Like, I mean, definitely, but like, they have tiny little throwbacks and stuff like that to remember, like, what set John Wick on the rampage back in the first film. But he's getting a little bit too removed from it. And the way that they, like, I don't know, like, I need, and he's not attached to anyone or anything anymore, really, as a character. So you can't really offer more incentive or add more incentive. So character motivation wise, like, I understand that he's trying to survive and he's trying to do everything. And Reeves is great once again in this role, just absolutely slaughters it. But I'm starting, and I think maybe audiences might be kind of the same way as well, but I'm starting to kind of detach a little bit from John Wick as he was in part one. Like, it's not like it was in part one where it doesn't feel as justified, and I feel like the movie makes a point of that, like, that maybe he is going too far or whatever. I don't necessarily know if you felt that way or not, but I feel like maybe the movie is trying to go a little bit in that direction.
I didn't feel that way. I mean, we have our very own L to the O to the Y to the S to the A to the U to the C E E E E. Loy sauce. Yeah, baby. Loy. Loy sauce. Yeah, baby. Yeah, Loy. Yeah, he complained because he took offense to the fact that the crowd that he saw the film with, the advanced screening that he watched, laughed at all the kills. I'm like, are you kidding me? This movie's extremely garish and fucking cartoonish.
It's very over,
and over the top.
Yeah.
But all of the martial arts aspects are very real world, and there's a lot of effort put into the action sequences to make it real, and for that impact to be heavy and hit you hard. And I get that, but at the same time, like, this movie comes off to me as very exaggerated.
Yeah.
But.
It definitely
is. But, Nick, how often do we see that many people get killed in a movie, and the MPAA go, yeah, you can release that movie. Sure.
Yeah,
like, to me, this is like the John Wick fan's wet dream, where you see him kill like 1,000 people. You give him challenges. And I have to ask you this question right now, because we haven't even talked about this yet. Halle Berry, dude. Come on.
Amazing.
Right?
Amazing.
Seriously?
One of the
How long
fun.
Have we seen her in a movie in general? And then we see her in this movie, and she's a fucking total badass.
Yeah.
All of those movies she did, like that one shot scene where she did like literally 20 moves in one scene. Amazing.
Yeah. Absolutely incredible. That was probably my favorite action set piece of the film, because, like, and you get the gun violence. Like, you get, number one, Stileski continues what makes John Wick a success. The camera doesn't cut. It stays with the action. It moves with the action. These things are so well choreographed and so well put together that you get to watch these action sequences in their entirety. You're not trying to watch because it's cutting so much and you don't understand what's going on, and there's so much CGI and all these other different things. It's none of that. The camera is focused. The camera is steady. The camera is just moving through the scene.
Nick, the dogs.
All of it. And yeah, the dogs are like fucking dogs, missiles, dude.
Like, oh my god,
they're like homing missiles, dude. Like, the dogs were amazing. Absolutely amazing.
I was in all over that. I mean, like, we know that some of it is enhanced by CGI, but most of the awesome actual practical stunts that were in the movie were real. They built those ramps. You could see in all the sets, like, this ramp was built up to go for the have the dog jump over here, and this ramp was built over here to have the dog jump on this guy. I could not believe how great those dogs were.
Yeah, it was absolutely, I mean, just absolutely amazing. I utterly, utterly adored it. It's just, I think, and for me, and I think the problem that I'm starting to have with John Wick, at least a little bit, and I mentioned this when I talked about it with Paul with part two as well, when you're this criminal organization, you're the high table. When do you just say, let's leave him the fuck alone? Let's just let him be.
Why would they? Because then that would not allow us any more movies.
I know, it wouldn't allow us any more movies.
I mean, come on. But
when do you just leave John Wick alone? You know, like, I get it. I get the whole thing about it. But I still, for my money, like I said, Stileski really does what makes these films work. And he really gets what makes these films work. Audiences want to see this kind of thing too. If the weekend box office and the audience reception is any indication, like, they've definitely tapped into something here. This is something that audiences clearly want to continue to see. They don't want Resident Evil movies where the action is cut 17 times per second and you can't even see what the hell's going on. They want up close, uptight action. And yeah, you know what, and some people I've seen complaining, oh well, it looks really choreographed. Yeah, of course it's fucking choreographed, but I would much rather watch this amazing choreographed action in steady camera shots where you're not cutting 1,000 times any day than this frenetic, like, frantic, like, holy shit, the editor must be doing,
I mean, here's the thing, Nick, and you know as much together. As I do, these actors actually went through the process of learning every single move here.
Yeah.
Even if CGI enhances it, you see these actors, they're doing the actual practical stunts, the actual practical fighting. Keanu Reeves, this is his baby, dude. This is all he cares about. He loves doing the martial arts. He did that motorcycle sequence. I mean, even though we can tell some of it is CGI, we know that a lot of it was him on an actual bike.
Yep.
There's so much in this movie. It's practical stunts, practical fighting, practical guns. How could you not love this movie?
Yeah. I mean, but I know I'm being nitpicky maybe a little bit toward the plot of the film.
Because no, here you go.
It's getting more convoluted for them to kind of try to find ways to continue to pit the world against John Wick.
But is there any other movie like this though, Nick?
That's what I'm saying though. You don't go into these movies for the plot. As long as it's good enough, as long as it is enough to kind of sustain its own weight, like as long as the rest of the movie works, you don't really care because you get these amazing, awesome action set pieces. And it's just wall to wall amazing. Like I even love at the end when they bring in all the guys with like the body armor. So his normal tactics of just popping dudes in the head doesn't work. So he's got to adapt and they've got to do different things. I love all that about this. I love that they're trying to change the game. Like they definitely went into this as a response to part two and said, okay, people did notice that we leaned too heavily on the stuff that we did in part one. We've got to try to change the game. I love the sword fights and all the martial arts and stuff in the final battle.
Tons of martial arts, amazing. Tons of sword fights, tons of knife fights. And all those knife fights are way more vicious and brutal than anything we saw in part two, honestly, in my opinion, because we saw a lot of gunfighting where it's basically martial arts and jiu-jitsu and all the different types of martial arts that Keanu Reeves learned for the John Wick series. Just using guns. Like that's how they decided on how to do the fighting style. But in this, it's way more knife fights. There's axes, like, and it's way more brutal, way more mean spirited. And like for me, I'm like, yeah, I want to see you like cut guys' heads off and throw axes in fucking faces and stuff. Like as an action fan, this is exactly what I wanted, even more so. And within the first 30 minutes, Nick, as an action fan, my dick had already came, if you will.
Yeah.
I had it already. It gave me that high spot, and I'm like, it can't get any worse from there.
It's just literally from the beginning to the end. It's just that kind of nonstop action thrill ride that you used to get with those, like, just even cheesy 80s action movies, those big 90s action blockbusters. Like, that's what this takes me back to in terms of what you can expect from it. And I'll be 100% honest, Justin, I really don't have a whole hell of a lot else to say about the film other than the fact the one thing that I really, really loved about this film that we didn't get to talk about, and I'm going to try to get this correct because I know that they identify as non-binary, but Asia Kate Dillon as the Adjudicator, just fucking stone cold badass. Just absolutely loved them in the film. I had to get your thoughts on that as well, Justin, because I thought they gave an amazing performance. They didn't even do anything in the film, and I was like literally
just
scared
walked around.
Shitless.
They just pranced around the movie. Basically, they just had this presence there where they pranced
with the gloves.
Around.
I love the gloves. That was such an amazing touch.
There's a presence there, and you know, there's a lot of great performances in this movie. Let's not make that mistake. I mean, Lawrence Fishburne, fuck me. Seriously, how great is he in this movie? He literally just chewed up scenery, but like, oh,
I love how over the top they're letting him be.
He's so good in this. He's like, yeah. Man, I don't get these opportunities very often. You know, like
Angelica Houston,
oh,
so good.
Our own Morticia Adams, if you will, beautiful woman.
Amazing
actress. She's been in so many classic films, so many classic performances. This movie, that's why I feel like part three, Parabellum, chapter three, if you will, is better than part two, and it raises the stakes of part one. They didn't have the advantage. Now everyone wants to be in these movies. The performances are great, and the action is better than you've seen in anything else as far as hand-to-hand combat. I don't know, Nick. Is this movie not serving up the goods to you? Is this not giving you what you want and what you expect out of a John Wick movie and actually adding upon it?
100% does. And like I said, this is a far, far better film, I feel, than John Wick Chapter 2. Because, I mean, I don't really have anything else to say about it, so I'm going to slap the rating on it right now. 8 out of 10. I adored this. And please, just keep throwing these at us. As long as Keanu Reeves is willing and able to do these...
In his mid-50s, mind you.
In his mid-50s. Like, I was reading some press, because he did, like, a thing where he signed his name and did his footprints and his handprints in the concrete and stuff like that, and, you know.
Yeah, he did he's in the Hollywood Walk of Fame, but
he's got
but
the
Nick,
handshaking the, and stuff, so I think people are saying, or I don't know if it's confirmed or not, but I think people are saying he's got early onset Parkinson's, but I'm not 100% sure. But even still.
Oh, really? Oh, my God. Yeah. I didn't hear that.
Yeah, that's what I was reading this weekend. I don't know if any of that's confirmed or not, so don't take my word for it, ladies and gentlemen. But that was what I was reading. But he did have the handshake in quite a bit. But even still, like, as long as Keanu Reeves is willing to do these movies, and I guess apparently maybe even a Sophia spinoff with Halle Berry, I'd be all the fuck for that movie.
We did not go into depth into that character at all, but I feel like she...
Well, that's because the movie doesn't either, to be 100% honest.
But her action sequences and the amount of effort and time that Halle Berry incredible. Put into those, so fucking good. Mm-hmm. When I went to go see this movie, I saw a trailer for some other movie that's trying to basically rip off this movie and Red Sparrow and everything else and Atomic Blonde, that all these high stakes action hand-to-hand combat movies. Just put a random character in there.
Was it Anna?
It was Anna. That stupid
fucking, it's Luc Besson, so I know, into it with any kind of expectation.
I know, but at the same time, they're like, yo, we picked a hot chick. So you'll want to watch it.
Will I?
Well, the 15-year-olds in the audience may want to.
The 15-year-olds definitely will. So there you go. My rating's 8 out of 10. I mean, like I said, there's I don't really know. All you can just keep saying over and over is it kicks so much ass. And the action sequences do not stop. I was constantly just blown away. And I had a couple of these moments in the theater, Justin, and you know how I watch movies, but I had a couple of these moments in the theaters where I was like, oh, like that, like just because the kills were so awesome.
The whole theater
awesome.
Lit it up. Yeah. And I have to give Loisaw shit for not being on here tonight because he took major offense. He actually took to social media, Nick.
I saw complained it. It was like a whole tweet chain he did.
He complained about people laughing to this movie, but I texted him late last night after I got home after seeing the movie and said, I laughed, I cried a little bit, just a little bit. I clapped my hands, I cheered. I'm like, this is the movie that I want to see. This is the equivalent of an 80s action movie.
That was what I was thinking, too, is it's exactly the kind of modern day descendant of the like cheesy 80s action movie. It's 100% that. Well choreographed
with better action. with Nick, with better action than we see in any other action.
Well, I mean,
movie,
they've had,
no one ever,
you know, so many more years to perfect it. This is the action franchise of the 2010s. I mean, this literally is nothing. Nothing comes close to John Wick. Nothing. It's just incredible, and it all goes back to Keanu Reeves. Keanu Reeves is phenomenal. Like I said, I'm giving it an 8 out of 10. What are you going to throw on it, baby?
For me, it's an 8 out of 10 as well. But I will make this clear. It's my favorite since the first. I definitely like this 100%, better than the second
way
movie.
Better than part two.
So I'd have to re-examine the first movie. The first movie has that impact because, you know, he's done with his job. He's that guy. He's like, I'm retired. You killed my dog. You know, I lost my wife.
Well, there's that's what I was talking about before. It's like the first film has that emotional investment. And since he literally, that was this whole world. That was all he had. The film has nothing else to put, like, threaten except for his life, but it doesn't have anything else to threaten to, you know, invest us in John Wick anymore. It's still trying to carry that investment over from the first film. And, you know, some film franchises can work that way. Some film franchises have to, you know, find other ways to continually reinvest us in that character. And, you know, that what they're doing is working for now. I do hope part four finds some way that they can invest us even further in John Wick's character, though, just because I want to see this franchise keep going. Like, literally, if Reeves is in a fucking wheelchair and wants to keep making them, I'll keep watching them. I don't care. I'm down.
Hey, man, I'm sure they'll find ways to make martial arts even more violent and expansive and fucking interesting when he's in a wheelchair as well. So 8 out of 10 for me, 8 out of 10 for you. That's the end of that.
Yeah, that is it, ladies and gentlemen.
Chapter 3, Parabellum.
Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
So, guys, not everybody knows who the Epic Film Guys podcast, you know, what you guys are all about. I know, but I would love it if you guys could just tell the listening audience, you know, how you guys kind of came up with the podcast and how people can actually listen to you.
I get Justin, do you want to take this one?
Yeah, I think you're the mastermind of the podcast. Why don't you go ahead and tell them?
Mastermind, that's a good word.
Mastermind.
Mastermind. Don't be writing this stuff in the newspaper, Knox. All right. So, yeah, basically the Epic Film Guys podcast came about a little over a year ago now. Justin used to live in the area here with me up in upstate New York, and his wife got a great job offer, so he moved down there toward your area, Kevin. And we used to do video reviews together. You know, summer 2014, fall 2014, we were all over YouTube trying to really gain a presence, trying to grow a footprint for Epic Film Guys. He moved away. That couldn't happen anymore. And we just couldn't get that magic back doing it by ourselves. I would do written reviews. Justin would do videos by himself. It was just not the same. And people always told us, you guys should do a podcast. You guys should do a podcast. You guys should do a podcast. And finally, we relented and we were like, all right, we'll do a podcast. So I did a lot of research into how we should record the podcast with two of us in different locations. We each record our own audio, if anyone is curious about that. And we started the show in July of last year. And we have just grown by leaps and bounds ever since then. We've gotten a ton of new, better sounding equipment. So those older episodes are dwarfed in quality by what we're putting out now, which is great, which is really, really awesome. We've got a lot of dedicated listeners. We've got a great core audience of really passionate fans that we absolutely love to death. And that includes yourself, sir. So thank you very much for that. So it's great. Great to have had the rise that we've had, and we only have bigger and better things to come, I hope.
I hope so too, man. Like I said, actually, while we were in the midst of recording you guys' podcast, which folks can definitely listen, I'll have the link in my podcast. But
WNUF Halloween special 112 WXXX, the porn channel you've all wanted. Come and come with me tonight.
All right, make some noise for a bit.
I want to let you suck my peepee. I want to let you roll your dick on the bottom of my dick and feel my asshole. Please, please rub my peepee in my nipples. I want you to feel it.
And your nipples, huh? That's my favorite soundbite.
Just rub them fucking nipples. Just rub those fucking nipples. Rub them. Are you referring to the fact that you got a new penis and you had to get a penis enlargement and that you wanted to put your new penis on the show?
Exactly.
On the show,
that.
Per se. How much larger is your new penis in comparison to your old penis?
Smaller.
Is it a lot bigger?
Smaller.
So you got a penis de-larging, then, if you will.
De-larging.
Does that make sense? Is it a penis enlargement, like a penis enlargement? Wouldn't it be a penis de-large? What is the word for that when you cut like the tip of your dick off? I don't even know.
Hot takes.
Oh, there'll be a hot one in the old town tonight.
Now, I'll have you know, I had to cut a portion of his laughter out of that and then re-loop it at the end because he ends that laugh with like that woo, and it had to continue laughing into the fade, so I had to loop that.
I love that so much that I think I came my own pants tonight. Honestly, Nick, it's as of this recording, we are about 32 days out from the 30th anniversary of Tim Burton's Batman.
You realize we haven't recorded a fucking episode since in like 3 weeks.
Yeah, no, it's been that long.
Yeah.
We've been boning up for the live stream for The Cure. You did an amazing job. And not only did you do an amazing job, and all of our patrons and our friends and the podcasts that were a part of it, but Dan Brennick, Dan from the Netflix and Swell podcast, I can't even give him enough props or thanks. And of course, I would invite him down here for drinks and a nice steak dinner, but he will decline. But I do owe him that much, and I'd love to take him out for him and Ashley, him and his girl out for a great night on the town, and just really just...
That means you're not inviting the sauce.
The sauce would want to be there. Of course, of course the sauce would want to be there. What do you mean? The sauce has never actually met Director Brennick in person. I'm just glad to be sitting down with you right now. You're sucking on that microphone like it's the biggest dick I've ever seen. Now, even as much as I've seen in the porn industry, I've never seen a dick as big as that mic that you put in your mouth, Nick. Are you saying you can deep throat a dick that big?
Because
that'd
if
be
I really
like
tried
3 inches
get
wide
past the
and radius, and
maybe without the windscreen on it. I think I need a new windscreen too. Like, I don't know if you can see this like here.
It's yellow. How much do you put your mouth on that? How much? I mean, how often do you want to suck
really,
on
it's
that
just,
thing?
Literally, it's just so faded from light and shit. I'll pass the floor over to you. I'll pass the floor over to you? What the fuck?
I'll take that floor.
Yeah, oh, am a god. Am.
Is that a little over the top? I can never tell.
Can never tell. R. What's that stand for?
Robin.
Check one.
All right, you guys talk for 10 seconds.
Talking for 10 seconds.
Noy Sauce, what was the first Batman movie you ever watched?
That would be Batman Forever?
Yeah.
I want to say it's Batman Forever. And because I had my... I found all four on VHS at a yard sale. It's either a yard sale or a library sale or something. And so I watched Batman Forever first.
Your parents didn't take you to see Batman and Robin in the cinemas?
No, of course not. I was four.
I saw Batman and Robin in the cinemas. I saw it opening fucking night.
So did I. I saw it at AMC Vestal.
I did not see it at AMC Vestal. I saw it down in Scranton somewhere. I think Dixon City, actually.
Really?
Yeah, I think so. It wasn't an IMAX then, obviously, but I'm pretty sure because I went with like my friend Mike and like his brother and like a whole shitload of us all went and saw it. Yeah, it wasn't in Vestal though, I know that.
What was the reaction when you and your friends left the theater? Do you remember?
Not good.
Really?
Oh shit, we were all like 17 when we saw it, so like, or I was 17 when I saw it for the
first
time.
I was 14. I went into the movie, I was wearing a Batman and Robin hat and Batman and Robin shirt I got from Target. So like, I'm being a Batman fan, seeing all the other ones in the theater opening night. I'm like, I'm gonna go to this thing. It's gotta be good. All the rest of them were good. Because at the time I was still a big fan of Forever, you know what I mean? I'm not saying that I'm not now, but I mean, seeing that movie in the theater, like, it was a huge crowd pleaser. Yeah. A lot of people talk shit about it now, but at the time it made a lot of money. A lot of kids liked it. It wasn't like people were hating on it back then.
Really, the only thing about, and I haven't seen it in a few years, so this could be wrong, but really the thing that sinks Batman Forever is Tommy Lee Jones, who's awful in the film. But everything else about it, I think, works.
I mean, Carrie's Pete Carey. In the mid-90s.
He's amazing in it, yeah.
And yeah, Tommy, I still do not even understand what the idea behind that was. But they probably didn't want... Because you can't have him play like a darker, like, whatever in the film and the tone they were going for. You need a character that's just light and just crazy and wacky and whatever.
But you don't, though, because that's who Jim Carrey's playing. That's the Riddler. Yeah, well, so you needed that counterbalance between the villains.
Tell them that.
I mean, the movie's been made, so...
It wasn't Schumacher's idea to cast Tommy Lee either. It was one of the producers on the film that had worked with him on Under Siege and worked with him on The Fugitive that said, oh, I know who could play this part, and he mentioned Tommy Lee. And Tommy Lee got the script. He said, I don't understand. Why do you want me in this movie? And then Tommy Lee's kid actually said, I love Batman. That's a great villain. You have to play it. So he only did it because his kid wanted him to do the movie. Yeah. He's not going to be in the Batman. I'll bet you guys right now each $100.
I'm not going to say that you're wrong.
You know why? Because I know who's directing it, and I know what he's done, and I know he's been meeting other actors, and I know how Ben looks so fucking miserable in these interviews for Justice League, and how out of shape he was in this movie. If anything, I still loved him in this movie, but let's get on to Batman. Let's do it right now. Let's talk about Batman.
And real quick, before we go too far, the thing that you mentioned with the with Matt Reeves meeting other actors, he's met all kinds of actors, but the very article that was starting this rumor about Jake Gyllenhaal being the new Batman, it retracted it corrected it, saying no, we don't know anything, we don't know if he's gonna be the new Batman, we don't know.
He's definitely met with him,
but who says that it's gonna be for the role of Batman?
And as you are the guest on the show, I'm gonna send it right over your way. The fuck, words are hard. Words. I can't speak.
Words are hard.
Don't get super fat, kids.
I'll try not to.
You.
Hey, I already yelled at you about your diet, you and your peeps fucking cereal. But it's okay. I told you the other day, as long as you don't tell me you're going to do something and not do it, you can eat whatever you want. You're young enough, your body will be able to do what it wants with it. Whatever.
Well, yeah. I mean, not for much longer, probably, but.
Did you just put actual Peeps in your Peeps cereal?
No, but they have like little bits of marshmallow in it.
Yeah, but
so
that's
it's marshmallow flavored cereal with marshmallows.
Cereal marshmallows. That's not Peeps.
Yeah, they're not the real. Like the Peeps are actually sticky. Those things are like.
You gotta put like what you gotta do is get a bowl, take one Peep like a duck, put it at the bottom of the bowl, and then pour milk up around it so it's just its head's popping out. And then you put the cereal around it, and then you gotta take a little slice of the actual Peep every time you take a bite.
It's just disgusting.
Think about how good that would taste.
Oh, God.
Yeah, disgusting my ass, boy sauce.
Well, I mean, I love Peeps. Like, I mean, but Peeps with milk? I actually, sometimes I don't have milk in my cereal. I just eat it dry.
You know what Kaya did? That's fine. We bought her Lucky Charms, like, a week ago or something like that. And Daniel had a bowl of it and whatever. And then, like, a couple of days ago, she went to go have a bowl of it. And Kaya had gone in and eaten every single marshmallow out of it and left all the other pieces in there.
I did that when I was like 3 years old.
Dude. It's like, what the hell?
That's one of my favorite God. Simpsons of all times. Ew, Bart, don't put the non-marshmallow pieces back in the box. They go in the trash.
God damn it. Nick, I keep saying this week in and week out. One of these days, I'm just going to buy like the first 5 seasons of that show. For some reason lately, I've really wanted to sit down.
10.
Good luck. Good luck.
By 3 seasons. Through 10, skip the Klasky Supo stuff. The seasons 1 and 2 they're fine. They're not bad.
There's some good episodes in season 2.
There's some
2.
Good stuff, but it's still the Klasky Supo animation, which is like the animation team that did Rugrats.
And oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah,
it's not nearly as good as the animation company they switched over to. Rachel Weisz is chiming as hell. Chiming?
Chiming.
She's so charming.
Jesus Christ. The
ding, ding, dong.
Roll on this episode. Oh, it's like the touch of God. Wait. Another day of wine and raisins. Or in your case, beer and pizza.
In your case, beer and pizza. But you said you'd let me live.
Too true, and so you shall. Nothing better than my bait to trap a bat. Batman Forever really
Let's start
is
this party with a, bat.
A treasure. All right, start recording. And then whenever you're recording, lay it on me.
Check, check, check. All right, here we go. Hello and welcome back to the Epic Film Guys Spotlight number 4 for the evening, where we are going to find out whether Nick Haskins has it in him to like 2 zombie films in the one evening. That is right, 2 zombie films.
Let us go in 5, 4, 3, 2. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to a very special spotlight where I'm going to be joined. Fuck. We've got 3 of them, and I'm trying to think of different ways to do the opening, and I'm like, let me chew up on this dick. All right. One more time.
God damn it, I have to piss now.
You can hold it.
No, I can't. I'm 35 years old. That could cause a bladder infection.
You're not an elderly man.
You're not my dad.
You're not my dad.
But I am, though, damn it. Right. You'll listen to what daddy tells you and you'll do as told.
No.
So, all right, I'll pick that back up here.
Are you beating me with a belt?
Jeez.
Justin's giving me the belt.
I'll pick that back up. All right.
You'll take the belt and you'll like it.
That reminds me of one of my favorite Bill Cosby.
Spank you with the belt now.
One of my favorite Bill Cosby stand-up routines. The belt will wail tonight.
Daddy's gonna spank Bill Cosby. You with the belt now. Sure it did.
Hashtag free Bill Cosby.
Jesus.
Just kidding.
This one's going in the next blooper reel, folks. Next blooper reel.
That's the next sound drop. That's the next...
Hashtag free Bill Cosby.
I can see that being used against me in the future.
Yeah. You should always know better when you're on microphone and recording with me. You should.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to this episode of the Epic Film Guys podcast for Thursday, November the 10th, 2016. The election is over, Justin. I am Epic Film Guy Nick.
I'm Epic Film Guy Justin, and it's not over yet. It will be by the time this episode airs, but isn't
I was trying to play
tomorrow?
With the whole like illusion of we're recording, then like it's a live show thing, and you just totally did. You pulled your pants down, and you just dropped a wet turd on it. Much
dude,
the election.
I really didn't know. I didn't. I swear to God, I. Hey,
big wet turd, just like the election is set to drop tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
I hate you.
So, ladies and gentlemen, by the time this airs, you have either exited the voting booth or you decided not to step into it. But yep, it's happening. It's tomorrow.
Hey, third option, you hung yourself in it. You never know.
A political statement.
That's
your way. That's their way of protesting. Hey, man, in the 70s, I could see that happening. Now, I think people, I just don't see it happening.
I don't know. That's morbid as hell. But, you know, I, for one, am happy that the massive, what in the hell is going I don't understand what's happening.
I'm just laughing.
She can't even drink. She can't even drink, and she's just no. bouncing off the fucking walls. What did Mark put in your juicy juice?
I don't know. I was laughing at your Sylvester over there, just like I.
This is the kind of recording we're going to have, Justin. Unprofessional. Right, you take a few months off from the microphone, and all of a sudden you're unprofessional. Just... no sense of any. It's crazy. All right. So, but yeah, but that said, the election, as I said, is over. And I, for one, am very, very glad that 2016's election season will finally be behind us. So maybe Facebook's newsfeed and the entire internet won't be cluttered with just nasty, shitty people being shitty to each other for shitty reasons.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really disheartening. Yeah.
It's really, really disheartening. I 100% agree with that. But, we've got a lot of fun stuff to talk about tonight on the show. Justin, officially welcome back. We skipped last week's recording and threw together that little bloopers episode.
I didn't necessarily take time off. I was just kind of planning for this week. That's for real. I wasn't really... That was just coming out that way. I'm a little under the weather. But yeah, so...
So you were planning last week to be under the weather this week?
God. I'm scrapping this whole episode. I'm taking this week off, too. You guys have fun. I'm done. I'm out of here.
Jesus. Well, we need you. We can't do this without you tonight, unfortunately. We've got too many great things to talk about, and I know you've got to get some thoughts about Hacksaw Ridge off of your chest, as do I. This whole fucking thing is so far off the rails. Like, I can't even see them from where I am. Like, they're so far away. I'm just going to keep all this. Don't stop recording. I'm just going to reboot the whole episode. And we'll see where we go. All right. We're going to be live in 5, 4, 3, 2. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to this episode of the Epic Film Guys podcast for Thursday, November the 10th, 2016. The election is over. And I am Epic Film Guy Nick.
And I am Epic Film Guy Justin. Oh, by... Ah, no! 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 God damn it.
I'm breaking up with you now.
I'm done. I'm seriously done. Koji, get over here.
Yeah, let Goji step in. Put the headset right on her.
It'll put just her... be snort, 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 snore, snort.
Yeah, I feel like if we just replaced both of us with Goji, we might get something good out of
this. I think it's the election. Just stop with the election stuff. It's already over. People are already over it. Well, they're not over it, but...
Yeah.
You know, just congratulate Madam President and move on.
Aw. Don't talk about Donald like that. Burn. Okay, all right. Last try here. Last fucking try, Justin. You keep it in line, or I'm going to have Goji eat you. I have Rocky eat you. He looks like he could eat you.
He's auditioning for the Jabba the Hutt role in the Han Solo spinoff. I'm dead serious, Dan. We were looking at that picture the other night, and I'm like, dude, he's just so fat. We think he has a thyroid problem or something, because we're not feeding him like anything extra at all, but he just looks like really fat.
He does look pretty rotund.
He's got like four extra chins.
I would tell you to try getting a food puzzle, because that's what we got for my cat now. And now he's mad at me, because he has to work for his food, and he's really mad.
He doesn't want to put up with your bullshit.
He doesn't. He doesn't want to work for his food at all.
All right. We are live in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Although, and just a small aside, please. You're in a movie theater. For fuck's sake, you are not actively participating in the horror movie itself. Stop talking to the characters on the fucking screen. They can't hear you. You're ruining the fucking movie for everybody else.
Nick.
Shut fuck up.
Dude, I swear to God, my response to you was, I feel like you've never seen a horror movie in a theater before, or B, you probably lucked out on every other occasion, because I've experienced this on plenty of occasions where they legit just, oh no, don't go in there, don't go in the door, no, you best leave right now. And I've seen this even last year when we saw Kong Skull Island, an advanced screening of that. There was a lady next to me and like, oh, hell no, he ain't gonna do that. Run from that monkey motherfucker. Like, seriously, like, people will do this to you. And I feel for you, dude. I feel for you. But like with horror movies, it's just been something I've been experiencing my entire life.
I was so fucking angry.
I think it works for some horror movies and not for others.
I think
when we went to see,
wherein like the whole theater can kind of get into it, and like it's something schlocky and you're all loving it and having. But if it's a tense, like a very intense thriller that, you know, you're really kind of trying to watch, like, you know, you're watching it closely because obviously Peele's talented. It's got great performances. You're super invested in it. So every time somebody's like, no, it completely breaks everything for you.
Yeah,
it's just like,
because everyone has to let everyone else know that they're watching the movie too.
I didn't know. I was not aware of that until she piped up numerous times. Like around halfway through, she finally stopped. I don't know why. She just arbitrarily did. It was kind of nice.
Anyhow, yeah, that's just one of those things. And people laughing during horror movies as well. Things that aren't supposed to be laughed
inadvertently,
at.
Inadvertently funny. I felt like something was crawling on my leg. I was like, what? We do this a lot on the show where I constantly am interrupting and being like, what?
Oh.
Let's break down that spoiler wall right now and jump right in, because like you're perfectly correct, Nick. There's no way to talk about this movie without really doing that. And so I'm going to say this to anyone listening. If you haven't seen the film yet, don't listen on beyond this part until after you've seen the movie, because number one, I think everyone should see this movie for themselves, and then come back and listen to the rest of the review.
Hard agree.
As opposed to a soft agree?
Yeah.
Like a flaccid agree?
Yeah.
You need a little bit of blue pill magic to get to agree more?
Sure. hard agree.
We haven't talked about dicks in a while. I just wanted to take it back to dicks.
Full throbbing agree.
Jesus.
I was just going to remark how funny it was that the trolls on Twitter did the Alita challenge, where they were basically, they went to go see Alita, or they said they were going to go see Alita last week, and instead of seeing Captain Marvel, to stick it to the feminists and Brie Larson.
Take that.
Didn't exactly work out great, did it?
Take that. You
take that. Well,
I want to be a person. I want to be a person, and I don't want to get on. This will probably get cut from the normal episode, but you guys in the live stream, if you're watching, will get it. But find something more productive to do with your fucking life than to be a person who's like, I'm gonna go on Rotten Tomatoes and I'm gonna give this movie a bad review because I don't like strong women. And Brie Larson was like, we need more representation in film criticism from people who aren't white men. And go fuck yourselves. Find anything better to do with your life. Contribute.
They're so scared.
Something.
They're so scared, Nick.
Well, they are really, really. I mean, girls are scary, Loisos. Find literally anything better to do with your fucking lives and your fucking time than crying. And even if this movie's not for you, if you know what, if her comments turned you off or whatever, I mean, I disagree with you, but just go away then. Just go. But instead, they dedicate so much
energy.
No,
it's not like
Justin,
we're all
it's not
required
a movie.
Or mandated.
It's not a movie because she's a mean lady and I'm white boy.
She doesn't. She doesn't smile.
She doesn't smile.
Why,
at all,
why isn't she smiling?
No. Why doesn't she smile? It's mean. You know,
her butt's flat too.
Yeah,
that means we should boycott enough. The film.
You see Captain Marvel in the comics, man. It way bigger. I hate.
Where are her curves?
Hate fanboys with a fucking passion. That'll all get cut, like I said. But you fuck you.
That should be on the soundboard. I hate fanboys of the fucking passion should be on the soundboard.
That should be the only clip on the soundboard. Like, just hit it every few minutes of the show. Because it's fucking true. Every fucking word of it. Fucking. Like, look.
Anyway, I'm sorry
how
to.
Bereft of. You have any idea how much shit I have to do all the time? Like, I can't even imagine dedicating a whole portion of my day to being online just to trash a movie or. Just to go to Rotten Tomatoes and be like, one star, girls.
First of all, who leaves reviews on user reviews on Rotten Tomatoes?
That's exactly what I said. I was like, I really feel sad for anybody who leaves reviews on Rotten Tomatoes and
Nick,
like takes them seriously.
I stopped doing that when you and I were still working together at 21st Century like 8 years ago.
Remember, was it when we were doing video reviews or was it right after that when we first started the podcast that I tried to get us approved as like an approved critic on Rotten Tomatoes and never heard back from them? And I was just like, well, go fuck yourself. Like,
yeah,
whatever.
We did attempt it. So,
but like your life revolves around your user review on fucking Rotten. What?
I love how it worked too.
It worked.
I
so loved
well. How it completely backfired in their faces.
So it will. You know what? Marvel's gonna send them all $100,000 because it worked. it was perfect plan. Perfect.
Well, didn't you hear that Marvel pays off critics?
That though? Is true. Marvel does pay off all of the critics, literally every single one. Just like have anything. I have a ton of shit I have to do all the time. I will gladly send you some stuff to keep you busy. If you have nothing better to do, then go online and cry and complain about a movie and Rotten Tomatoes and about women who have been just like literally just treated like shit by society for ever. You know, you get a movie with a strong female protagonist who isn't going to take the you're just a stupid girl shit lying down and actually stands up in the face of that and becomes a hero, and you're going to cry about it. Fuck off. Fuck off. As hard and as fast as anything ever fucked off before, ever. I'm getting off on a tangent, and I don't want to. I'm sorry.
Insert a smattering of applause sound effect here.
Wait, hang on. Wait.
Be quiet.
That was the wrong thing. Whatever. It worked for the occasion. Before we roll out on this segment tonight. Tonight? The tonight? Fuck? What am I even saying? Fuck. I hate fucking words.
Give your balls a tug, Ted Parker.
Thank you, Shorzy. Fuck. All right, let me... Fuck, I need more liquid refreshment.
Get yourself balanced there, sir.
Man, I didn't drink enough before the show, or I drank too much before the show. Not enough. We'll say not enough.
Not enough. Never enough.
All right.
Like, how... Yeah. Okay, how the fuck did Commissioner Gordon not figure out that Bruce Wayne was Batman? Like, even the kid played by Joseph Gordon-Levitt figured it out.
We're not supposed to use that word.
Hey, they said that they were going to take that word back.
You're not supposed to use the word kid. Zero. You're supposed to refer to them point as children.
Zero.
They're kids.
All
kid
right.
Means goat, and that's offensive.
I want to see a kid graduate from high school.
I want to see a kid get a really good job.
I want to see a kid succeed in his field.
I want to see a kid... I can't think of anything that's not politically incorrect to say.
I sucked a dick last night.
I want to see a kid start a nice family.
I don't want to see a kid hang out with Bryan Singer.
Oh.
Ooh. Man, that got dark fast.
That just kind of deflated everything, didn't
right?
it?
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is going to be it for a pretty brief edition of the Epic Film Guys podcast. Again, as we said, please, please, please find us over on Apple Podcasts or anywhere that you can find great podcasts. Subscribe and give us that beautiful 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. We would really, really, really appreciate it. Next week, we've got a double feature headed your way, Aladdin and Brightburn. That's right. I have to suffer through a movie produced by James Gunn. Justin actually already checked out, so that's going to be it for us this week, for myself, for Justin, and, of course, for the god of podcasting himself, the sauce. Thank you all so, so very much for listening, and until next time, we will see you at the movies.